I wonder what your worst life experience has ever been. My apologies if I've dredged it up. But as you reflect back on that trauma, and with the passage of time, do you see the hand of God at work, even in your darkest moments? A while back, I spent an eventful night visiting various local emergency health centres. I tried out 3 different antibiotics that failed, and a subsequent enforced stay in hospital left me physically drained, but curiously refreshed and grateful to be alive, and deeply aware of what matters most. I can't say I found that evening lying on a 2'6" wide trolley in A&E exactly heaven on earth, nor indeed the next few days in a ward in St. Peter's. I did, however, meet many angels from a wide range of countries serving in the National Health Service. And in the space of, say, 72 hours, as I observed the world going around my temporary home on wheels, in my enforced childlike dependence, I realized that a hospital is far more than a loose collection of underpaid doctors and nurses. It's actually a very highly disciplined, multidimensional, 24/7 operation that includes paramedics, ambulance crews, receptionists, porters, nursing staff, auxiliaries, surgeons, anaesthetists, junior doctors, consultants, pharmacists, technicians, lab assistants, cleaners, chefs, and the hospital chaplaincy team. And my apologies if I've missed you out. They are highly qualified, deeply motivated guardian angels. And they use their skills and their talents with one objective in mind: to get you well again as quickly as possible, because they need your bed. Each has been trained, equipped, and recruited for that specific role within the organization. Each knows their job description, what's expected of them, to whom they're accountable. So despite all those different uniforms, positions, and titles, most have one thing in common. They're there because they desire to serve, to heal the sick, listen to the troubled, counsel the confused, comfort the dying, with patience, grace, and humor. I wonder if that reminds you of another institution. Because these Sunday mornings, we're asking the question, does God have a purpose for my life? And the answer is an unequivocal yes. Yes, he does. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do, Paul says to the Ephesians. God's intention is that we appreciate the person God has uniquely made each one of us and discover or reconfirm how we can be fruitful and fulfilled in a place of service. Now, there are 3 different dimensions to discovering our place in the body of Christ. It's a combination, last week, of our passion, what wakes you up in the morning, what motivates you, what gives you energy. That gives you a clue. Spiritual gifts, and we're going to be looking at that in more detail next week. And our personal style, our preferred way of working. Do you like working with people? Do you like working with concepts, with computers, with systems? Last week we discovered that our passion is that God-given desire that compels us to make a difference in a particular ministry. You listen to Helen share something of her passion that motivates her to want to work in one of the local prisons. And I shared my passion with you last week, and I hope you were energized by yours. Today and next week, we want to consider the second strand, the spiritual gifts. Why are we wired so differently? Because God has indeed made us each unique, and we want to understand why that is. 3 observations, simple observations we can make about spiritual gifts. The first is that we must know about spiritual gifts. You might like to turn to 1 Corinthians 12 with me. That's where we're going this morning. The Apostle Paul in verse 1 says, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed." We must know about spiritual gifts. It's a biblical command. Ignorance about our spiritual gifts is no excuse. If we're not using our spiritual gifts and talents for the Lord, we are like the man who buried the talent that the owner had given him in the ground. Paul is saying, listen up, take note. The emphasis on gifts here is dramatic and it's critical because they are indispensable for the growth of the church. The church is not like the civil service. It's not an organization. It's not about profits and losses. It's a living temple of the Holy Spirit. It's the body of Christ on earth. That's why we're addressing these gifts today and next week. We must know about spiritual gifts. Secondly, we are expected to use our spiritual gifts. Like a father, Paul writes to Timothy, "Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid hands on you. Do not neglect the gift or gifts that God has given you." God may have given you more than one. The point about the parable of the talents is one guy got 5 talents, the other got 3, 2, and the other got 1. The more talented you are, the more gifted you are, the more responsible you are for the way that you use the talents God has given you. Would Paul have made this statement unless neglect was a possibility? Unfortunately, neglect happens every day, whether through ignorance or disobedience. If you need convincing why this subject is so important, Jesus gives us a third reason. We're accountable for our spiritual gifts. That was the whole point of the parable in Matthew chapter 25. The man who gave these gifts, these talents to his servants, he went away. He expected them to invest them and to create a return, so that when he came back, he would receive them multiplied. God is doing that in and through the church. Notice how he responds to both the one who was given 5 talents and the one who was given 2. "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things." The point about using our gifts is to build a church and also prepare us for heaven, to equip and train us for greater responsibility. So, listen up. We will one day be held accountable for how we have invested the talents, the gifts, the resources God has entrusted to us. So, 3 observations we've made to begin with. We must know about spiritual gifts, we're expected to use our spiritual gifts, and we are accountable for those spiritual gifts. Now, we're going to keep this really simple this morning. Really simple. So I'm going to ask just 2 or 3 questions and give you the answers. What is a spiritual gift? What is a spiritual gift? Well, the apostle tells us in verse 7, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." Spiritual gifts are manifestations, they're evidences of God working in our lives. Maybe ability, but it's a spiritual ability, a supernatural ability. It's not something we were born with. It's not something we learnt about at school. It's not because of our genes from our parents. It's an ability, a grace, a blessing that God has given us. And we don't have time to look at the list. We're going to look at the list next week. But you may like to go back over 1 Corinthians 12 for next week, as we look in more detail at the different gifts. But the gifts are given by God, a manifestation of the Spirit. Well, who has spiritual gifts? Let's answer that question. Verse 7. "Now to each one," says Paul, "the manifestation of the Spirit is given." Each one means everyone. If you are a child of God, God has come to dwell in your heart by his Holy Spirit, and he gives you one or more gifts in order to serve him. You are indwelt by his Spirit. You are gifted. Third question. Who decides on my spiritual gifts? Well, in verse 11, Paul answers that. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So God has determined what our spiritual gifts are. We don't get to pick our favorite one. We don't get to choose our spiritual gifts. We may choose our place of service, but we don't get to choose our gifts. God knows best. He knows what the local church needs. He knows how and why he's made you the way you are. We've all been called. We've all been gifted. We've all been given, therefore, a definition and told of their availability and their source. But more importantly, let's answer the question, well, what is the purpose of spiritual gifts? What is their purpose? Well, the Apostle Peter tells us in 1 Peter 4, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Spiritual gifts are for the common good, to glorify God and edify others in the church and through the church. Through the church, into the prisons, into the workplaces. Spiritual gifts are not primarily for ourselves. They're not for our self-edification, not for putting, you know, on the sideboard or on the piano as a memorial to our greatness. They are not for us primarily, they're for the good of others. Two observations we can make about this. There is a diversity in the provision of spiritual gifts. Notice verses 20 to 24. And there, oh, sorry, this is a summary. This is where we've gone so far. What is a spiritual gift? Who has spiritual gifts? Who decides them? And what is the purpose? Well, let's move on and look now at the diversity in the provision of spiritual gifts. Verses 20 to 24, Paul says this. There are many parts, but one body. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. There is diversity in the body. There is diversity in the provision of spiritual gifts. Secondly, notice there is a university. There is a unity in the deployment of spiritual gifts. He goes on, verse 24, to say, but God has put the body together. God has put this church together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Please don't think of the church in terms of clergy and laity or staff and volunteers. We are a body, and every person is significant. Every person has a role because every person has been gifted by God to build the church. We each have a unique contribution to make. Our differences are God's design. God's design. His purpose is that we grow in unity of purpose. That's why our mission strategy is so simple. We're here to win people to Christ, build them in the faith, and send them to do the same. Win, build, send. We're here to know Jesus and to make Jesus known. And therefore, the gifts and talents God has given each one of us should help us further our 2020 vision, to help us achieve those goals that God has given us. That's why today we're asking you to think and pray about how you're going to invest your financial talents in the work of the church in the year ahead. You should have been given our Pledge Sunday leaflet. I would ask you to read it very carefully. The first page talks about why we should give. The second page talks about how much we need as a church and why. And then there's a breakdown of how our investments will be deployed in the year ahead. And then if you don't presently give, there is a form at the back that tells you how to do that. But we ask every member of Christ Church to complete the pledge form so that we know how much you hope to give in the year ahead. Please respond and put that in the box either today or next Sunday or our pledge Sunday, the first Sunday in December. Think about when you were young. You were very dependent on your parents. They nurtured you, cared for you, protected you. We didn't know then what we were going to be when we grew up. We were just dependent. But as we've grown older, we've begun to understand that we're not like other people. Everyone is different. And with that awareness, we begin moving toward independence, asserting our own independence and authority. And being independent and self-sustaining seems to be the goal in society. Culturally, we equate maturity with independence. But discovering our uniqueness, discovering our role in society, is not necessarily the same as maturity. How does the body function well? There should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. My time in hospital a while back became a week-long biology lesson. You know, some of the theoretical drawings and the technical terms I tried to remember in my biology class, I won't tell you what I got for biology, but it wasn't good. All of that just disappeared as I was desperately trying to understand what was happening in my body. I became an avid learner. I had a vested interest in asking questions about how my organs were working today and how they were supposed to keep me healthy. And just as pain at one end was felt at the other, so drugs administered at one end brought relief at the other. And I'll leave it to your imagination to work out which. But God's design is that we look after each other, that we show equal concern for each other. We're talking about a healthy interdependence. A healthy interdependence. As I said, and as you know, in the hospital, every staff person has an important role to play. The doctors and the nurses were just as dependent on the porters who pushed me from A&E to my ward, just as much as the consultant who examined me or the pharmacist who prescribed my drugs. Each person was dependent on the other. It is just the same, says Paul, in the church. Let's summarize where we've come to so far in this exploration this morning. We must know about spiritual gifts. We're expected to use our spiritual gifts, and we're accountable for our spiritual gifts. We've explored what is a spiritual gift, who has spiritual gifts, who decides my spiritual gifts, and what the purpose of spiritual gifts are. We've recognized there is diversity in the provision of spiritual gifts, and there is unity in the deployment of spiritual gifts. Now, it's over to you. Next week, we're going to be exploring in more detail what those spiritual gifts are and how we can discover our gifts and how we can deploy our gifts. But if you can't wait, there is a leaflet called Ministry Teams on the rack outside. I invite you to pick that up and find out about some of the opportunities we have. And in the weekly e-news this coming week is a hyperlink to a brilliant little leaflet produced by Crusade for World Revival, Discovering Your Basic Gift. And if you click on that, it will take you to a digital version of this article. And it's got about 60 questions that you can answer, it's 35 questions that you can answer. And as you fill them in, it will help you to discover what area of ministry perhaps God has gifted you for. And there's an explanation about the various gifts and abilities. So I commend that to you through the weekly news, but we'll look at that in more detail. Why are we wired so differently? Because God has wired us so differently, so that we can cooperate with one another. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all. We've been put on this earth to make a contribution, to extend the kingdom of God, a contribution of eternal significance. The end of your life, you will be standing before God, and He is going to evaluate how well you have served Him. Each one of us will have to give a personal account of God. We've seen this morning that we've each been given a spiritual gift. We have a unique place of service in the church, and we have a God-ordained assignment to glorify God and edify one another. Next week, we're going to examine in more detail the different kinds of gifts God has given us and how we can indeed be faithful stewards of His grace. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for so generously giving spiritual gifts to everyone who belongs to You through Jesus Christ. Help us to better understand what those gifts mean to us and how we can use the gifts You've entrusted to us to extend Your church. Help us to be good stewards. Help us to be active participants in Your church. Enlighten us, Lord, and reveal the gifts You have given us so that we can use them to bless others and glorify You. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.